That was a blessing. If you have a Bible, Exodus 33. Exodus chapter 33 today. We'll read this in a minute. Exodus chapter 33. Second book in the Bible. Amen. Genesis, Exodus. There's a verse in Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 4, and the Bible says, "For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you." How does God do that? He that goeth with you to fight against, for you against your enemies, to save you. You ever need somebody to be with you, to go with you somewhere? You just don't want to ride alone or go somewhere alone, so you start at a list. You want to go? No. You want to go sometimes. And it's also good to have a good person with you. Amen? Sometimes, maybe a job or whatever, you have to work alongside somebody that really doesn't encourage you. But when we're able to choose, we would choose somebody that would lift our spirits. Amen? Somebody that would be a blessing to us. I think that's a good thing. It's very, very natural. Spiritually, as Christians, we want God to go with us. I mean, what better companion? He's not our co-pilot. He's our pilot, but he goes with us, and that's certainly a blessing. The Bible says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." So it's good to choose the right companions, if you're able to. Iron sharpeneth iron, and it strengthens the believer. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, the Bible is talking about the Spirit of God, and it says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So the Spirit of God dwells within us. Isn't that a mystery? It's a mystery, and it's something that some people don't understand or maybe don't even experience. But as believers, we certainly can experience the truth of eternal life and the abundant life. Doesn't mean we're always flying high, but you can know when God is with you, when his presence is there. There's a number of verses. Before we read our text, I just want to give a little background here. 1 Corinthians 6:19. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Don't you know that? Know ye not that the temple of God is within you, and the Holy Spirit is there? And it says, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own." Chapter 3 and verse 16 of 1 Corinthians. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" What do those verses mean? For you have John 14, 17. "The Spirit of truth, he dwelleth in you and shall be in you." John, 1 John 4, 4. "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." That's a powerful verse. You have 1 John 4, 13. "We dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit." So it's the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit of God that dwells inside of the believer. Amen? And so that's where his presence is. In Jude, verse 19, there's the opposite side of the coin. It says, "These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." John chapter 3, we are born again of the Spirit of God. We're born of the Spirit. We have Ephesians 1. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We have 2 Peter chapter 1. We are partakers of the divine nature. That's the nature of Christ. So Galatians tells us we have an old nature and a new nature. We have a carnal side and a spiritual side if we're believers in Christ. We have the flesh and we have the spirit, and they war against each other, okay? But God is with us, and he's able to fight our enemies. I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I think. It's too bad Richard isn't here. I would ask him where it's at. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10. "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Through God. So he it is that fights for us. The victory is not because, look at how good I am. The victory is we let God fight for us. Amen? And so that's the presence of God in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. "We have this treasure in earthen vessels," the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ in us. That's the treasure. We have that in earthen vessels. that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So the power comes from God. The wisdom comes from God. The strength comes from God. Amen. That's God's gift to us. The mercy, the love, all of those things that we read in the scripture. The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. Why? Because that's his presence. That's the peace that we have. It's amazing. So it's not us. It's him. We have Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So all of these things are possible because of Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So it's working in us. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The verses are endless about that. There is so much more to religion than keeping the commandments or having a form or having an outward righteousness. There is an inward side to be a believer in Christ. It's when Christ is in us. He's with us. He guides us. All of those things that he promises. 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So just the form isn't it. Amen? Well, I'm better than the next guy, and look, I do this right, and I do that right, and the guy that went into the temple to pray, and he says, I'm not like him, you know. That's a form. But the real thing is such a blessing. It's such a blessing. What are the promises of his presence? Well, I've just given about 10 verses that show the promises of his blessings or his presence. What are the evidences of his presence? You know when you are in the presence of somebody. You know, physically. Amen? There is a spiritual reality, and we're going to look at it today. How you know you're in the presence or God is in you. How you feel his presence. I think it'll be a real blessing. There's a reality to a relationship, a fellowship, a companionship with Almighty God. It's a spiritual presence. It's a spiritual presence. In John 14:16, Jesus said to his disciples, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Jesus is leaving, amen? He's going to the Father, but because he's leaving, he's sending the Holy Spirit. I will send you another comforter. You have in John 14:26, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. We find in the scriptures that we are filled with the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit, we pray in the Spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Lord says, I will send you another comforter. Amen? So we live that spiritual life. I want to show you something about that. This is Ephesians, chapter 5. And it talks about in verse 17, 18, to be filled with the Spirit. And then it says these evidences. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another. You remember that list now. This is Colossians chapter 3. That was being filled with the Spirit. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Same results, same evidences. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And then it talks about submission. Being filled with the Spirit is being filled with the Word. Not just knowledge, because knowledge puffeth up. But when we have a right relationship with the Word of God, these words, the words that I speak unto you, Jesus said in John 6, they are spirit. And they are truth. In Hebrews, the word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's working in our hearts. Amen? So it's a spiritual work that God does in us. Here's a fleshly work. I know when I'm, okay, I can walk over here, okay, I can touch this, I can see, I can hear. That's all flesh, amen? But what do we feel in here? What do we experience in our hearts? Is it peace in the time of a storm? Is it faith when there's really seems to be nothing to have faith in? We're not hopeless, amen? We have hope in God. We have power in God. We have the wisdom of God at our disposal. What happens? Well, Jesus was the Word. The Bible is the Word. And the Spirit guides us into the Word. So the Spirit of God and that filling is such a blessing. There's two verses in the Bible that I want to spend a little bit of time on. Then we'll get into the message and we'll come back to this. One is in Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Spirit of God. Don't grieve him. The other one is in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not the Spirit. Here's the definition. To grieve is to make sorrowful, to offend, or to provoke. Grieve not the Spirit of God. Why? Why should we not grieve the Spirit of God? Quench not the Spirit of God. Quench is to extinguish, to put out, to stifle. Why would we not want to grieve or not want to quench the Spirit of God? Because it's the Spirit of wisdom. It's a comfort. It's peace. It's love. It's joy. Amen? So when we have the Spirit's filling, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, that's the fruit of the Spirit. But when we quench that or grieve that, we don't have that. And the wrath of man, the wrong spirit, worketh not the righteousness of God. There's a verse in 1 Timothy 4:2 that says, having their conscience seared as with a hot iron. That's not where we want to be. Amen? Because there's no wisdom apart from God's wisdom. There's no help apart from God's help. It's all carnal. It's all physical. It's not here. But God wants to do that for us. We go to our text, Exodus chapter 3. It's a long introduction. Good to have visitors. My introductions usually aren't that long. But the sermon's till about 2:30. So, I'm kidding. We're in Exodus chapter 33. The children of Israel, boy, they doubt God. And, you know, they wander in a wilderness. And God's so good to them. But this is what the Bible says beginning in verse 13. Now, therefore, I pray thee. Well, let's back up to verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee. Moses said, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence, God says to Moses, my presence shall go with thee and I will give thee rest. That's a good thing to hear from God. Verse 15, this is Moses again. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. God says, I'll go with you. And Moses said, yeah, because if you're not going with us, we don't want to go. Amen? God, what should I do? And God gives us an answer from his word, because this is God speaking to Moses. God speaks to us through his word. God, what should I do? And God gives us an answer in his word. That's the way we want to go. Amen? Why would we want to go contrary to his word or to his leadership? So we're going to see something about that today that I think will be a great blessing to us. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, bless your precious word now. Thank you for the privilege that we have to have a Bible, to know it, to read it, to memorize it, to meditate on it, and to allow it to lead our lives. I pray, God, that you would give us help now as we preach and as we hear for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the third reference in your Bible, starting in Genesis, to the presence of God. The first one was in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. And this is familiar. This is about Adam and Eve. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They heard his voice. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. Isn't that amazing? God created them. He put them in a wonderful place called Eden. He supplied absolutely everything for them. He gave them some instruction, some warning. Don't do this. But they did it anyway, didn't they? They had sinned. And that sin caused them to hide from the presence of the Lord. First mention of that in the Bible. The second mention is about Cain in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 16. Cain, you know, he killed his brother, Abel, and he buried him. And then when he was confronted with it, he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" He tried to hide it. He had committed a sin. And the Bible says about Cain in verse 16 of chapter 4, "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord." He went out from the presence of the Lord. Then you have our text where God promises to be with us and that his presence will go with us. So the Bible records instances of the absence of God's presence and also the fullness of God's presence. The absence of God's presence is a negative. The fullness of God's presence is a positive. You'll find that all the way through the scriptures. In Daniel chapter 3, the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the king says, "Fall down and worship my golden image." And they're not going to do it. They're not going to worship another god. And so we find that the king throws them into the fiery furnace, which was heated 7 times hotter. I mean, it was a bad deal. But they said, "We're not careful to answer thee, O king. We're not going to bow down. Our God is able to deliver us, but if not, then we're going to go in the furnace." Well, they went in the furnace. And here's what the Bible says in Daniel 3:25. "Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Isn't that amazing that God was with them in the fire? There's a song we sing, "How Firm a Foundation, When Through Fiery Trials My Pathway Shall Lead. His grace all sufficient shall be my supply." I've got the wrong verses mixed up. But it's all good. The whole song is good. And it talks about how God will be with us. Isaiah 43:2. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." You ever have just a precious family member? Could be husband, wife, children, parents, grandparents, could be anything. I'll be with you. A good friend, amen, that's with you. Well, Jesus is our friend. Christ is our friend. The Spirit of God, God's presence will go with us. It says, "I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Boy, those three Hebrew children experienced that. There's a man by the name of Andrew Weirman, and he's talking about another man that was put in prison for his faith and became a martyr. But this is what this man experienced. It says, "They placed me in solitary confinement. It was a tiny cell, perhaps 6 feet by 8 feet, with no windows and soundproofed. They hoped to break down my resistance by isolating me from all sensory perceptions. They thought I was alone. They were wrong. The risen Christ was present in that room, and in communion with him, I was able to prevail." How did that happen? Because Christ in you, the hope of glory. I've read some things about some of the churches in Afghanistan, and they were talking about, "We may die tomorrow, but we're going to serve the Lord today, and God will be with us," and all of those things. And here's a man, we just read his testimony. There's all kinds of books about the martyrs and et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes, do you find that some trouble that you're in, some hardship that you're in, you can barely take it? Tell it to Jesus. Get God involved in it. Amen? He's a burden bearer. He's our strength. He's everything to us. And many, many times we are not sustained by the Spirit of God because somewhere we haven't followed God, or we've grieved the Spirit or quenched the Spirit. Because God's Spirit, I mean, who could fight against God? Amen? He's all powerful. You have Isaiah 41 verse 10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness. Jeremiah 1:8, be not afraid of their faces. I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. I am with thee. He says it over and over and over. There's so many verses. Acts 18:10. Paul is in Corinth. It's a wicked city. He's a missionary. He's going to establish a church. And God says to him, I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. All you have to know is God's with you. Amen? All you have to know is I'm following the Lord. I'm right with God. I want God in my life. And then God does something, because it is him that worketh in your heart. There's a song, where Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. And if Jesus doesn't go with me, I don't want to go. Why would you want to be a place that he didn't want you to go? There was a man that once said, I can face anything but the future and certain parts of the past and present. I can't face very much. None of us can face the past unless we know we're forgiven by the grace of God. If you know, if you have not experienced forgiveness, that past keeps coming up. Man, oh man, look what I did, look what I did, look what I was, look who I hurt. But if you know the forgiveness of God, what a blessing that is. Amen. None of us can face the present unless we know we're strengthened by the presence of God. Oh boy, I can't go through this. Yes, you can. None of us can face the future unless we are certain of the love of God. One day we'll be with him. Amen. God will lead his dear children along. His presence in worship, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18:20. So here we are, right? We've come together to worship, and the Spirit of God is here. And my spirit bears witness with your spirit. Our spirits bear witness with his spirit. Amen. You sing those songs. There's a sweet spirit in this place. And you just think, man, isn't this a blessing to be in church? Amen. And we rub shoulders and we encourage one another. There's laughs. And I mean, it's just a blessing to be here. You have his presence in prayer. Luke chapter 18, verse 11, the Pharisee stood and thus prayed with himself. He wasn't praying to God. Listen to the scripture. He prayed with himself. When we bow our heads and bow our knees before Almighty God, we're talking directly to him. Amen? We're not talking about him. Have you ever heard somebody in prayer preach a message? They're talking to other people. You know, they're preaching to other people. They're using prayer to do that. Well, our prayer needs to be for the Lord. You have his presence in life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. Why does David say, I will fear no evil? Because God is with him. So perfect love casteth out fear. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I will trust in thee and not be afraid. Fret not. Amen? I mean, there's so many verses about this, and you just can't stop worrying on your own. Oh, I'm not going to worry about this, you know? And you put it away for a little bit, and bang, it's right back. And you put it away again, and bang, it's right back. That's where we need God's help, isn't it? You have his presence in heaven. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. What about the presence of God in our hearts? I like to come to church and feel his presence. There are songs about that. I walked through the door. I felt his presence. I forget the rest of the words. I'm going to have my wife come up and sing that for us. But it's a great song. When I walked through the door, I felt his presence. That's a good thing in a church. Amen? And we do feel his presence. You know, sometimes you'll meet somebody and you'll just see the joy of the Lord in their face. We've done a lot of traveling for our ministry over the years, and we've been in different airports. And it's, you see somebody and they see you and you're a Christian. Yeah, you're a Christian. I mean, you know, it just is like that. Amen? You can tell when somebody has that glow. And it's a blessing if it is. But what about what's going on in us? I want to make the connection here as we preach about this. Our relationship to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God is what blesses our lives. That's the spiritual blessing. We're not grieving or quenching the Spirit. We're being filled with the Spirit. We're walking, praying, worshiping in the Spirit. You have Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Are there things you wouldn't do if someone was watching you? Sure. Sure there are. Amen? Picking your nose? There's things you don't want to do if somebody... I preached that one time, and I said in our church, I said, who here picks their nose? And we had a family, and they had five little girls. And all of them put their hand right up, you know. But certainly there's things we would feel uncomfortable doing. We wouldn't want anybody to see. Have you ever had an argument that you didn't want anybody to know you had an argument? Maybe husband and wife, maybe children and parents. I don't know. You're on your way to church, you're arguing, and you get and you shut the door of the car and hear somebody stand at the door. Hey, brother. Amen. You don't want anybody to know you had an argument, right? But the Lord sees everything. And sometimes we're supposed to have disagreements. I toned that right down, didn't I? Okay. Never had an argument in my life. Just real hearty disagreements with somebody. Psalm 51:4. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. That's what David said. David said after he committed adultery and tried to hide it, after he killed Uriah and tried to hide it, he's getting right. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil, this wickedness in thy sight. God saw it the whole time, didn't he? You can quench the Spirit and grieve the Spirit. Psalm 19:14. David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Not only the words that I speak. Oh, I'm so embarrassed I said that. No. The meditation of my heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Sometimes we stop the words from coming out, but the meditation is still wrong. What's in the heart is still wrong. And we can ask God to put a watch over our mouth and keep us quiet, but if that spirit is grieved or quenched, that spirit of wrath, it doesn't work the righteousness of God. God sees deeper. Joseph Carlyle said about David's prayer, it did not satisfy him that his actions were well witnessed to by men on earth unless his very thoughts were witnessed to by the Lord of heaven. I think that's a good advice. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that the temple of God, ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. He dwelleth in you. I mentioned John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give them another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. His presence is in his spirit. There was one preacher, and he was talking to a group of preachers. And he said this, moderate success in a ministry can be a spiritual hazard. Great success in a ministry can be a greater spiritual hazard. Because we can get to the place like Nebuchadnezzar that says, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. You know, sometimes success in life, whether it's business success or health success or whatever success it is, you know, well, we have wonderful children. They're all serving the Lord. Well, boy, I've lived for God and my children are wayward. That's the child's decision. Amen? And if you have good children, certainly you put something into them. But I want to tell you something. Good children in good homes can sin and they can get away from God. I think the best father in the world is God. Amen? You have in Isaiah chapter 1, God, the Father, says, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The picture in Luke chapter 15 of the prodigal son, the father is a picture of God. And that prodigal son was wayward. If the kids are good, let's give some credit to God. Amen? And if they don't serve the Lord, don't take all the guilt on you. That's an individual decision. But here we are. Here we are. God, what can you do for me? Not what can I do. It's not in my power to change people's lives. It's God's power. It's a preacher's power or privilege to give the word of God out. But God has to do something with the word. Amen? He has to do something with the word. As we witness to people, don't you wish everybody you witness to would get saved? I do. But they don't, because everybody has a personal decision. But it's God's work. It's God's work. Judges chapter 16 and verse 20. Samson was a great judge in Israel. And he had a lot of things that he did. You can read about Samson. Mighty Samson. But it says that there was Delilah? Delilah cut his hair, and that's where his power was. And she tried to get, where's the power coming from? He finally told her. And so the Philistines were around. She was a traitor, and they're just waiting to jump on Samson. Judges 16:20. She said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He says, "I've done this 100 times. I'll just wake myself. The Spirit of God has always come upon me. I've killed this lion. I've done this. With a jawbone of an ass, I've just killed 1,000 Philistines. I'll just do what I've done before." But he wist not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. He got so used to the success. He got so used to God blessing his life that he wasn't right with God here. He did the wrong thing. Amen? And he didn't know that the Spirit of God had departed. The power was gone, and the enemy had their way with him. Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. There's a book by Brother Lawrence. It's called The Practice and Presence of God. And he talks about having God in our thoughts and praying to God during the day and depending on God all the time and remembering his word, because that's where our help comes from. One preacher said, if God does not enter your kitchen, there's something wrong with your kitchen. Amen? So God goes with you in the kitchen. God helped Peggy make cookies last week. Amen? Those were good cookies, weren't they? Amen? Come on, amen? Yeah, those were good cookies. But God goes with you everywhere. He's with you everywhere. Psalm 10:4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Here's another verse, Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. What do we want? God is not in all his thoughts, or our mind is stayed on him, and we have that peace. There's a light that God shines in our hearts, and it brings glory to God. And that light is what leads us. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 5, he said, or 15, he said, I will bless you and make you a blessing. And when the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, has shone upon us, then we become the light of the world. Amen? It is not our work, it's God's work. God is working through us, and God gets all the glory and gets all the credit. Amen? Praise God. Take the name of Jesus with you. Take his presence with you. Don't say, well, I used to, and he helped me yesterday, but today you need his help. Amen? Don't end up like Samson, where he wist not the Spirit of God had departed on him. We have all of this at our disposal. The presence of Almighty God. Think of that. He'll go with us. We can feel him. We can accept his help. We can experience his kindness and his joy and his tenderness. But it all has to do with our relationship to this book. When Jesus speaks, when God speaks, we say, here am I, Lord. here am I, send me. Let's bow our heads, please. Praise the Lord for his help. Praise the Lord for his goodness, for his strength, for his wisdom. You can be filled with his Spirit. God says that. You can be filled with the Spirit of God. If you're here and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, it's a simple prayer. Asking God to save you. To be born again of the Spirit of God. A prayer like, God, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place. I accept him as my Savior. That's where life changes. That's where we become a new creation in Christ, being born again of the Spirit of God. If you're here today and you are a Christian, you are saved, there's an abundant life. It's there for all of us. All we need do is listen to God. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. It's amazing that God would speak to us, amen. And then not only speak to us, but fill us and be with us. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you that you're with us right now. I pray that you're in every heart here. I pray that people can feel your presence and follow where you lead. Bless this time of invitation, Lord. May it be precious time with one heart to your heart. And we'll thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's